Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I did not have a chance to watch Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech. I was on a video conference with our European partners with respect to Ukraine. I did have a chance to take a look at the transcript. As far as I can tell, there was nothing new. But on the core issue, which is how do we prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon, which would make it far more dangerous and would give it scope for even greater action in the region, the Prime Minister didn't offer any viable alternatives.
You're a liar. You're a liar from top to bottom. You know, it's sad for me to have to say that. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I watched Netanyahu's speech, and I would say it was the finest speech that I've watched in my entire life. I've heard great speeches before. I felt as though I was watching the Churchill of our time. I wish to God we had Netanyahu running America instead of this community organizer whose only goal is to undermine the American people and America itself. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Now, how do you feel about a president who is such a liar that he would even lie about not watching a speech saying, I read the transcript? That is such an apparent lie. It's something that even a liberal could see through. But let's put aside the fact that Obama lies by nature. It's in his nature. He can't tell the truth even if he tried to. Now, but let's get to the big lie, which is that Netanyahu didn't offer anything new. That's a total lie. It's a total lie. Obama said this, we've offered Iran a deal. And the question is, can Iran accept the deal we offer? Do you understand what that said? Did you understand the weakness, the quisling nature of this community organizer in the White House? Not only does he lie, but he goes before Iran and says, can Iran accept the deal we offer? Not Iran must accept the deal we offer. So to me, that explains exactly why Netanyahu was forced to come here. If he has a leader that is such a capitulator as Obama, a leader who would say, can Iran accept the deal we offer? You didn't hear that speech today, did you? I'll play it for you in a minute. This explains exactly why Netanyahu was forced to come here. Because he knows Obama was selling Israel down the river. But bigger than that is the issue of selling the West down the river. Because as Netanyahu clearly laid out today, this is not solely about Israel. It would be enough if it was only about Israel. But it's not only about Israel. Iran's charter calls for the destruction of the West, not just Israel. Israel is just the first in a long series of steps until the entire world is forced to submit to Sharia law, where women are stoned to death for committing to having been raped. If men rape women in Iran, they're stoned to death for having let themselves be raped. Is that the world you want your daughter to grow up in, you moronic liberals? And gays especially, what the hell is wrong with you? Didn't you hear what Netanyahu said? You can't understand that beyond your own needs and your wants, there's a bigger world. And in that bigger world, the Islamists kill homosexuals. Where is the gay movement? Where is the women's movement? Shocking, isn't it? Not shocking under this man who has so hoodwinked decent liberals that they don't even know they're in danger of disappearing from this earth. There are many questions that arose during Netanyahu's stirring speech today. And the number one was, I was in a room with a number of people, some younger than me, in fact, all younger than me, and I asked them all what they thought. And someone said, well, can you find a list of other leaders who have been, who have addressed the U.S. Congress in a joint session? The list is very long. It's a very long list, by the way. The question really is there a list of other world leaders who have addressed Congress with the President of the United States not being there? I don't know of such a precedent. It could have happened. I don't know. I heard some quotes in the speech. I heard some questions that came up. Actually, I wrote down these questions. Are you ready to this? How will Obama and his minions react to this speech? I know already. I heard it this afternoon. They're going to blame Netanyahu for Iran pulling out of the negotiations. They're going to blame Israel for wanting to live rather than wanting to die. The next question that was raised in my little room of audience was, what will Iran do in response to this speech? What reasons could Obama have to say that he will not listen to this historic speech? Did you hear what the liar said? I want you to play the liar again where he says he didn't listen to it because he was busy on a conference call with some tinhorn intellectual from Ukraine. Listen to this.
I did not have a chance to watch Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech. I was on a video conference with...
You hear him running. Whenever he gives you the you know he's putting it together. Can you actually believe Obama didn't watch this speech and start breaking things and throwing things around when his entire Quisling program was shown to the world to be what it is, a sellout of Israel and of the West? You don't think he watched this speech? I find that not only hard to believe, I know it's a lie. I know it's a lie knowing that the man lied about Obamacare. I know he lied about illegal immigration. Virtually everything he's forced down the American people's throats, he's lied about. So why should he tell the truth about this? But it's not about Obama. It really isn't. It's about Iran, isn't it? And what is it about Iran that we're all concerned about? Well, it's not just Iran. It's not about Iran. It's about the psychotics who have stolen Iran from the Iranian people. The psychotic throwbacks who have robbed Iran of its heritage. The psychotic throwbacks who have robbed the women of their rights. The psychotic throwbacks who have stolen Iran's history and converted into an Islamist maniac state that threatens to undermine the entire world. Watching the speech today, I said to myself, is Netanyahu declaring war in Iran? He said so. He said at one point, make no mistake about it. If we have to, we will go it alone. He said he will go to war with Iran if he has to. I heard that. I was stirred by that. But I don't think he'll go to war alone if he has to. I think that other nations recognize the maniacs who are running Iran threaten the entire world, and they include Muslim leaders. They include the leaders of Saudi Arabia, the leaders of Jordan, the leader of Egypt, the leader of the UAE. They know that Iran wants a bomb to wipe them off the planet. They know what Iran's goal is. And so this is not about Israel, nor is it about Iran. It's about the psychotic throwbacks that you see, the mullahs. You know what a mullah is? A mullah is a religious personality who lives in another century. And they have brought Iran backwards 500 years. They want to bring the world back 500 years. Do you want to go backwards 500 years? You know, this is an issue that any progressive listening to the show should agree with me on. In other words, I don't care if you're a progressive or a regressive. This is an issue that we should all agree upon. The world cannot let the Hitlers and headscarves develop a nuclear weapon. They're not like other Muslims. They're not like Pakistan, which is a nuclear nation. Because Pakistan, although it is a Muslim nation, has never threatened to commit genocide with their weapons. Pakistan, which is a Muslim nation, has never threatened to wipe another nation off the planet simply because they don't like their religion. But that's different when you look at the mullahs in Iran who have said on many occasions that they will wipe Israel off the map. But they said something else that every Jew should listen to. And frankly, every liberal Jew should listen to. They said, just last week, one of them sent a message or tweeted. He said this. He said, we hope all the Jews move to Israel so we can wipe them all out at once and not have to chase them all around the globe. I think that would include Harvey and the others from Hollywood. I'm not sure that they would be exempt, even though they've been good liberals. I doubt very much that they would get a pass. You know, we're on the eve of a very important holiday in the Jewish calendar called, like some call it Purim, some call it the Fast of Esther. It's about an ancient time, which strangely enough, I think begins tomorrow night. And what this is, those of you who are not Jewish, maybe you see certain cakes that are made. They're called Humantashen, and they're formed in the shape of Haman's hat. That's what a Humantashen is. King Haman was an evil king. He was the predecessor of the evil ones who run Iran now. And he was threatening to wipe the Jews off the map at that time. But Queen Esther, who was the queen of the Jews at the time, learned of this plot. And she warned the Jews in time in order to prevent the annihilation of the Jewish people thousands of years ago. And it's celebrated as a sort of children's holiday type. Purim is a holiday of happiness and dancing and drinking. And on the eve of Purim, here in America, we had the leader of the Jewish people. Certainly Dianne Feinstein isn't the leader of the Jewish people. You think she's the leader of the Jewish people? Apparently she thinks so. But apparently she isn't the leader of the Jewish people. She's just a war profiteer, as far as I can tell, who's disguised as a U.S. senator. But let's put her aside. The issue isn't even about Jewish people. The issue is about the West and liberal values. Strangely enough, progressive liberal values are what the issue is. Progressive liberal values cannot live in Iran. Progressive liberal values that the liberals claim to cherish cannot live with a nuclear-armed Iran. And that's why the speech today was so seminal and important. It's a speech that in other times would have united America, but because we have a divider-in-chief, America is probably as divided as it was before the speech. I go back in history and I listen to some speeches and I compare this speech to something Winston Churchill did. And I want you to listen to clip number 18 right now, Winston Churchill addressing Congress of the United States.
Sure I am that this day, now we are the masters of our fate, that the task which has been set us is not above our strength, that its pangs and toils are not beyond our endurance. As long as we have faith in our cause and an unconquerable willpower, salvation will not be denied us. In the words of the psalmist, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord.
Can you imagine the comparison between Winston Churchill and what we have in the White House today, the duplicitous community organizer? But before I take my first break and invite you to call the show with all of your feelings on the Savage Nation, I want to play one or two little pieces from Netanyahu's speech today. And I think we should begin with clip number one.
In this deadly game of thrones, there's no place for America or for Israel. No peace for Christians, Jews, or Muslims who don't share the Islamist medieval creed. No rights for women, no freedom for anyone. So when it comes to Iran and ISIS, the enemy of your enemy is your enemy.
On that popular note, I will leave the show for a moment to go to the wonderful people who back this radio program. And when I return, I'm going to do something that I haven't done in a while. I'm going to go right to calls, because lately I've tended to take almost no calls. I've gone to unprotected talk, but I've taken almost no callers. It's a strange phenomenon. I've been more engaged in the show than I have in years, because I feel that we're coming to the end of a long line in American and world history. I feel we're on the verge of something unimaginable, and we'll talk about that when I come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com.
I don't think it's permanently destructive. I think that it is a distraction from what should be our focus. And our focus should be, how do we stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon? The question is this. If, in fact, we are trying to finalize a deal, why not wait to see, A, is there actually going to be a deal? Can Iran accept the terms that we're laying out?
Bingo. Do you understand what Obama just said, that he's a weakling, a terrible negotiator? That he's going to beg Iran. He said, can Iran accept the deal we offer? That explains why Netanyahu had to come here. He knows that Obama was going to go and lay himself, well, through Kerry, prostrate themselves before Iran and say, would you please accept this offer? Now, what do you think hardliners like that are going to do? They're going to spit in the face of the weak West, as they've been doing. So he said, hey, I'm not going to sit here and let my people be destroyed under my watch. He came to America, and he was given a hero's welcome. I just imagined Obama seething with rage as he watched the accolades and the love for this man. I can just imagine the rage inside the heart of this man. I can imagine him breaking things and screaming at his aides, because he failed to stop Netanyahu from appearing before Congress. He used every trick in the book. He used all of his powers. And the most powerful man in the world came up short. The real winner here is John Boehner. You don't know that. You don't like John Boehner, many of you, because you've been led to believe he's weak and stupid. I've said the same things myself. If Boehner himself figured this out, then he fractured the Democrat Party. He broke them. For the first time I've seen the Democrat Party fracture under this dictator, Obama. They're terrified of him. What's interesting to me is that the Republican Party has been divided for a while, and that's the sign of a healthy Republican Party. Many ideas vying with each other for supremacy. But the dictatorship under Obama is so complete that no Democrat, even those who don't agree with him, dare step aside from his medieval creed of total and absolute control. But it happened. Many Democrats have said they wouldn't attend today, attended. I wonder why they did that. Why did the girls from San Francisco attend? I watched her, what's her name, Pelosi, preening before the cameras, before the speech. I thought she was mentally ill. She thought that it was a party for her. New hairdo, new earrings, new dress, new Botox face, all freshened up for the big night. And then she gave the stupidest response I've ever seen. Another one of those cuckoo clock speeches that she's become famous for. But I don't even want to bother you with it. Why play these fools when these fools are not the issue? We're facing the extinction of civilization. Many of you don't accept that. Many of you want to keep your heads in the sand and go about your business. I get it. So do I. Do you think I want to wake up every day to this problem of the extinction of Western civilization? Do you think it's easy to face this every day? I'm not complaining. Nobody's forcing me to do this radio show. But every day I wake up with it. Every night I go to sleep with it. But the people who really wake up with it every morning and go to sleep with it at night are the Israeli people. And their greatest friends in the world are the fundamentalist Christians in the United States of America, who are the greatest enemies of the American liberal, which is why the American liberal actually sides the retrograde medieval Islamists in Iran, which is that they hate so much that they will join those who would kill them. You don't understand that liberalism is a very severe mental disorder.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Defeat ISIS and let Iran get nuclear weapons would be to win the battle but lose the war. We can't let that happen.
Now, that won't be played tonight on the networks. That won't be played tonight on CNN. But I heard it. Lose the war, huh? We can't let that happen. You heard what he said? To defeat ISIS and let Iran get nuclear weapons would be to win the battle but lose the war. I think that the reason Obama didn't want him to come, there are many reasons. One is the world saw a real leader as opposed to a brittle shell, a faker. He didn't like that. He's a very competitive individual, as you can expect, who would go into politics, but a psychotically competitive individual. It's not limited to him. They're all the same. But aside from that, he didn't want the American people to see a real leader and hear a real leader. Because there's one thing about the average person. Doesn't matter what political orientation they are. You know, the truth has a certain ring to it. We've been so used to lies. We've put up with 6 years of a liar. A shallowness where nothing truthful ever comes out of the man's lips. Ever. Ever. That when you hear a man speak the truth, it rings inside of you as something fundamental to your DNA. We know that these medieval throwbacks in Iran threaten the entire world. We're not alone in our knowledge. The king of Jordan, who knows it. The prime minister of Egypt knows it. That's the largest Muslim nation on earth. The Saudis know it. How is it that the Saudis, the Egyptians, and the Jordanians know this, but the American liberal doesn't? How is that possible? How is it the American liberal could be so blind to the Hitlers of our time and have such a vendetta against conservatism and conservatives, if you want to put it that way? I don't even call it that. To me, it's survivalist. A person who wants to live sees this. It's an uncomfortable truth, and that's one of the reasons people don't want to face it, because it means you have to do something. It's much easier to say, well, you know, I'll kick the can down the road. What do I care about Iran? Let them get a bomb and wipe the Jews off the planet. I'm not a Jew. What do I care? I wouldn't like it, but you know what? It doesn't really affect me. People can think that. They don't care about the next person. They don't care about their neighbor. Why should they care about Israel so far away? I think that they should remember what was said in World War II, which I have to repeat it over and over again, by Cardinal Niemöller in Germany. He said, when they came for the Jews, I didn't raise my voice because I was not Jewish. I am not Jewish. He was a cardinal. He said, when they came for the trade unionists, I didn't raise my voice because I'm not a trade unionist. When they came for the communists, I didn't raise my voice, he said, because I'm not a communist. And when they came for me, there was no one left. Do you understand, liberals, what I'm trying to warn you? You're part of the human race. You're not separate. You don't have a separate identity. The Islamists will just as soon kill you as everyone else. They would just as soon lop your head off as anyone else. They're not going to give you a pass, no matter how much money you've given to the ACLU and the other anti-American organizations. And so let's go now to where I think Netanyahu made a very clear statement, which is that they will stand alone and go to war if they have to alone. In clip four, listen to this.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
You hear the applause?
But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
Oh, my God. Do you hear that? When have you heard Obama unite people like this? The answer is never. His entire campaign is one of divide and conquer. It's another reason he didn't want anyone to see Netanyahu. A man who could unite Americans across the aisle? No, that's not his game. So you ask, why did Obama not want Netanyahu to speak before Congress? The answer is because the world can see what leadership is. That's number one. Number two, Obama's clearly selling Israel down the drain. That's number two. Someone wrote me and said Obama's fireside chat. Bah. The fire went out and the logs were fake. That says it all. His rebuttal was pathetic. Pathetic to say he didn't watch the speech. Can you actually believe that every leader in the world was not any leader in the world was not watching the speech? As I watched Netanyahu speak, somehow my mind, my cosmic mind, saw the leaders of China listening to it in translation. I saw the leaders of every nation on earth taking time out from their busy schedules to listen to what has to be one of the most important speeches of our lifetime. It's high noon. And Gary Cooper came to America. Gary Cooper came to the American people and he said, not pleading, but stating very clearly, the bad guys want to kill me and my townsfolk, and we would love you to join us in defending us, but if you don't, we're willing to fight alone. That's what he said today. That's what he said. Did you hear the cheers? Did you hear the cheers? And then afterwards, the sickness that emanated from the mouths of these evildoers, Feinstein and Pelosi, was nauseating. Just nauseating. After preening before the cameras, before the speech, these harridans who have long overstayed their place in American political history got up and attacked Netanyahu in the most childish manner. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. Feinstein would perhaps be one of the worst, which is shocking being a war profiteer, in my opinion. Listen to what this shallow, deceptive Queen of Diamonds had to say.
Where it was a weak is how to actually solve the problem, how to actually prevent Iran from achieving a nuclear weapon. And right now, this is the only game in town.
And
the Prime Minister really didn't come up with any solutions.
See the long and? That's the Obama long and. They all use it now when he's fibbing and making it up on the spot. I'm an expert in this. I'm in voice detection. That's one of my hobbies. They're all doing the Obama and now. And I hope I don't do it. It's caught on in America. You can hear when they're stretching out, they're lying. They give the long and. First of all, everything she said was false. It was not weak on how to actually solve the problem. He was very clear on it. He gave it. He said, He was very clear. He said, withdraw from negotiations, and they'll come back to the bargaining table. After all, he said, that's how it works in the Persian Bazaar. He was calling them rug traders, which was actually a great insult that should have not gone over your head, but I'm sure most of you didn't get it. He knows how it works in the Middle East bazaars. Of course they're going to walk away if you're weak. No matter what you offer them, they'll say, nah, it's not good enough. So he was saying, here's how you solve the problem. You walk out on the negotiation. He said, it's a weak regime. Oil prices are down. It's weak. It's collapsing. And you weaken them further by walking away from them. That's a solution. Feinstein should know that. I'm sure she's used these negotiating tactics herself to get contracts and grants and stuff. It's not weak. But the worst was this guy we never heard of, John Yarmouth from Kentucky. I'd never heard of him. Can anyone tell me who John Yarmouth is? I never heard of him. Why did they use John Yarmouth of Kentucky to give such an idiotic rebuttal? Well, for one, he's from Kentucky. That should tell you everything. Michael Savage figured that out immediately. That was a no-brainer. Kentucky, Rand Paul, bingo. Write that one down. It'll be on radio in about an hour or two. But listen to how stupid this nonentity, John Yarmouth. I never heard of him. Listen to that. Who is he? Go ahead.
This speech was straight out of the Dick Cheney playbook. This was fear-mongering at its ultimate. Phrases like essentially saying nuclear war is inevitable if this deal were to be a deal were to be accepted. Phrases like this would pave the way to Iran having a nuclear bomb.
Turn this idiot off. John Allen Yarmouth is the U.S. representative of Kentucky's 3rd Congressional District, Louisville. Member of the Democrat Party and a former member of the Republican Party. In other words, he's a turncoat. He was born in Louisville, the son of Edna E. Klein and Stanley R. Yarmouth, descended from Jewish immigrants from Russia and Austria. So in other words, he's a Quisling. He graduated from high school, graduated then from Yale University in American Studies. That should tell you everything you need to know. Anyone who majored in American Studies was a lifetime left-wing fanatic. He worked for a Republican U.S. Senator from 71 to 75, and then he went to founded the Louisville Today magazine. He later worked as a VP of University Relations at the University of Louisville. Then he founded a newspaper called the Louisville Eccentric Observer, a newspaper in which he wrote a progressive political column. Now you understand who he is? Then he sold that little magazine or paper to a company owned by Times Publishing Company of Pennsylvania, owner of the unknown Erie Times News. And so he's been a progressive left-wing columnist forever, and he sounds like it. Why he was picked by Obama to be the hitman on a Netanyahu is beyond me, other than he's Jewish and from Kentucky. I can't understand it. They could have used a bigger gun than that one because it didn't play. But let's again go back to the main players. This was one of the most notable speeches of my life that I've watched as I'm an observer and a commentator. I'm not a politician. I'm not a journalist. Michael Savage is a commentator. Never make that mistake. I am not a journalist because there are very few in America. They don't exist. They call themselves journalists, but let's not get distracted with that big lie. Anyone who graduates the School of Journalism is already a biased individual. They don't let you in unless you're a left-wing fanatic. Ask anyone who's tried. So, society professional journalists, society professional Obama bootlickers is what they are. I don't call myself a journalist. I'm an observer and a commentator, an author as well, incidentally. And right now, I am observing the most important speech of our time. We're on the brink of a disaster in this world if Iran gets a nuclear weapon or two. They can't be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. If I didn't really know that before today, I know it more so today than ever before, because it was spelled out so articulately by Benjamin Netanyahu, who is a war hero and knows exactly what war is. War is hell. War is hell. It's the worst thing that could happen to a society. Nobody wants war. Who wants war? Do you think the Jews in Israel want war? Who would say that but a Jew hater? Yarmouth said that. Did you hear what Yarmouth said? He said that they want war. And the only deal is war. This was fear-mongering, he said, at its ultimate. Do you think it's fear-mongering to explain who the throwbacks in Iran are? The mullahs? That's fear-mongering? When the mullahs of Iran themselves have said they're going to wipe out the state of Israel and then kill all the Jews in the world? That should put the fear of God in your heart. The Christians know this. Why is it that the religious Christians know this, but the atheists and the communists don't understand this? And so the fact of the matter is, it was a very important speech. We know why Obama didn't want him to speak. And the questions that remain are these. What will Iran now do in response to the speech? Because they have to respond. Be very clear on that. The negotiations are now over, by the way. Any such negotiations that were ongoing with Iran are over. They cannot be, they're finished for now. Kerry's done with his little jet, his nation hopping. It's over. Iran's going to walk out on the negotiations and act like they were insulted by Netanyahu. He shouldn't have been invited. Blah, blah, blah. So there are no negotiations, and the Obama administration is spinning in overdrive since before he came here, and they're going to blame Netanyahu for the end of the negotiations, and they're going to say, because he came here, because he was invited by the Republicans, the great deal we had for world peace is now over. That's what they're going to say. But it's not true. Anyone listening to this show who's grown up in the real world as opposed to the academic world knows what reality is as opposed to the academic world, which is not reality. It's called academic for a reason. If you say to someone, don't be academic, what are you saying to them? Is it stop living in a dream world? Stop being an idealist. We all know what idealism is. There's a difference between an academic viewpoint and a real viewpoint. We heard Realpolitik today. The American people who listened were stirred by it. They recognize the danger the world faces right now, not so much by Iran itself, but by all of their proxy puppets around the world, including those in our own country, hiding and waiting to strike us, according to the FBI. You know, understand what I just said to you? They're here. They're near. They're everywhere. Because of the weakness of liberalism, they have penetrated our national security apparatus. They're everywhere. In fact, some of them are even teaching our national security operatives how to behave towards the enemies themselves. They're giving lectures on Islam inside the FBI, inside the U.S. military, inside the Defense Intelligence Agency, inside Naval Intelligence, inside police departments. That's how far this has come because of Barack Hussein Obama, who is infuriated today that the world has finally seen for themselves the danger he has put us in. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
I did not have a chance to watch Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech. I was on a video conference with our European partners with respect to Ukraine. I did have a chance to take a look at the transcript.
Turn it on. I've never been more embarrassed by Obama than I am today to think that he can get away with this childish statement, like a nasty child saying, I didn't see the other team play and win the All-Star game. No, I was too busy. I didn't watch the ball game. I was too busy talking to this 10th-rate intellectual from Ukraine who wants to drag us into World War III, right? So the question is, what do you, the listeners of the Savage Nation, think today? Many of you are chomping at the bit to speak. Let's fire away to begin with. Line number 8. Go ahead, fire away. You got less than a minute. Say it all.
Sir, thank you, WMAL. My name's Ed. I'm very curious as to what you think about the Prime Minister of Israel actually having the most brilliant point I saw in the speech, which was he laid down the predicate. What they do is what they're going to do, of course, but the predicate under the just war theory, in which there are two building blocks. One, the reason is why a nation has a right to go to war, and two, how do they conduct themselves in war? The way...
So you agree with me that this basically was laying out a statement that they will go it alone if they have to?
Sir, they laid out the whole moral and ethical and...
I see what you're saying. That's what he came to do. So that when he does strike Iran, he will tell you why... They've already told us why they have to do it. All right, there's a lot more to be said. I'm sorry this gentleman didn't have a chance to expound at depth or at length here on the Savage Nation, but I hope you will. I'll be right back for another 2 big hours right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
For 2,000 years, my people, the Jewish people, were stateless, defenseless, voiceless. We were utterly powerless against our enemies who swore to destroy us. We suffered relentless persecution and horrific attacks. We could never speak in our own behalf, and we could not defend ourselves. Well, no more. No more. The days when the Jewish people are passive in the face of threats to annihilate us, those days are over.
You hear the applause? He united Congress in a way I've never seen it united in current years. Never. And yet, of course, afterwards, the liars and the war profiteers, the shills, stabbed him in the back with their little speeches. And Pelosi said she was in tears, saddened by the insult. What a joke. This woman is a joke of the highest order. But, you know, you expect that from her. And Feinstein, what do you expect? I expect no different. Now they got that cretin, that Gutierrez serpent up there attacking Netanyahu, which is laughable. Netanyahu is a war hero. This is a cretin. A little cretin, an anti-American cretin, floods America with illegal aliens and pretends to be a congressman of the American people. Unbelievable. So I want to talk about war for a minute and a war movie. There's a big popular war movie out right now called Fury with Brad Pitt. Don't waste your money. I watched it last night, and I kept asking myself, could anyone actually produce something like this who's sane? I've never seen anything like this. It was like a comic book depiction of a group of guys in a tank in World War II facing Nazis. Every stereotype that you ever read in a comic book is played by Brad Pitt. Even John Wayne would have been ashamed to play this part of the hero in the tank. And it was an anti-war movie. As you know, Brad Pitt is the housemate of Jolie, who's an anti-war, anti-American type, in my estimation. So this movie is very much an anti-war movie. It shows you how evil the Americans were. They shoot in a German prisoner they capture. They rape a German girl. So Fury is not a realistic movie. It's a lie. And you shouldn't waste your money. It will exhaust you to watch it. It will make you ask yourself, who could produce a thing like this? Who in the world could produce this? How could Brad Pitt stoop to this level? Every stereotype, the bombed out town, they enter. In the bombed out town, the Americans in the tank have a dinner with a German mother and her attractive daughter. And, of course, then the daughter is raped by one of the American troops. It's Hollywood at its worst. And the reason I'm mentioning to you is it's a disgrace that this would be produced. The open fielded showdown with a German Tiger tank. The American, the small American Sherman tanks, which are called Ronsons by the American troops, because they caught fire like Ronson lighters. You know how many men died in tanks? That's the one truth is showing the actual German Tiger that was restored and the massive difference in size that our brave tank men faced in World War II. But it was awful. Never saw anything like it. This 30-minute scene of the dinner and the rape. It looked like it was written in by one of the Hollywood lunatics. I don't understand it. Everything was hackneyed. Everything. Norman, the weak recruit who shouldn't have been on the tank. The piano player who almost gets them killed because he can't fire the machine gun. He freezes up in the tank. Who, of course, you know, at the end is going to wind up the great hero. Finally, at the end, the German sniper, a Nazi SS officer sniper, shoots the great hero Brad Pitt. Not once, but three times with a sniper rifle, and he doesn't die. Now, anyone who knows anything about war or weaponry or ballistics knows that one shot is one kill. This was, again, attempted by Angela Jolie and Brad Pitt, in my opinion, to undermine the heroism of the American snipers, as portrayed in the movie by the same name. It was to show that snipers are bad, snipers are evil. It was a shot at American Sniper by Brad Pitt. I'm ashamed, frankly, to tell you he did this movie. I thought he was a good actor in so many other movies. But I'm telling you again, Don't waste your money on fury. You'll leave exhausted and angry. It's a waste of time. A lengthy, against-the-odds fight of four Americans in a tank, a burnt-out, broken tank, taking on 300 crack SS officers and killing them. Except I think in the end they get killed. It's unreal. I mean, the whole thing is beyond belief. You leave exhausted. Again, don't watch it. It's garbage. That's Savage's Rotten Tomatoes of the movie Fury. But now let's go back to the Churchill of our time, Bibi Netanyahu's speech, and Obama's thinly disguised contempt and embarrassment. If we had a real leader, he would have said, I didn't watch the speech. Or I did watch the speech, rather, but I didn't agree with it, and here's why. But he didn't. Our leader, our supreme leader, Barack Obama, had the audacity to lie again, where even a child could see through it. A child who lies to a teacher can look at this man and say, Daddy, why would the president make a thing like that up? It makes you ask, did Obama ever tell the truth in his whole life? But I don't think it's really about Obama. He'll be gone. He'll be remembered as a dot on history. A great experiment in the American experience that showed us definitively what happens when people elect someone who's not qualified for the job and what it does to the world and to America itself. The question is, can we survive and can the world survive two more years of this administration? I'm not so sure. But again, going back to the speech, we know why Obama didn't want Netanyahu to speak today. It's because they would hear reality as opposed to his academic falsehoods. Number two, they would hear the grave danger the world is actually in, as opposed to the dandy speeches that Kerry's giving about how wonderful the Iranian mullahs really are and how we're close to a deal. Well, all lies. But you have to hear clip 16 and tell me if you've ever heard anything as embarrassing as this. Listen to it.
I did not have a chance to watch Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech. I was on a video conference
You're watching a video game, right? Didn't watch it. The whole world was watching it. Anyone with a brain was watching it. Every world leader was watching it. I want you to think about that. Here's a man who says, give him a chance to negotiate with the terrorists, the worst terrorists on the planet, the Iranian mullahs, right? So you think he'd want to at least listen to Netanyahu. So, all right, I don't like him coming here. He overrode me. I'm not going to be there. I'm going to show him I have contempt for him, blah, blah, blah. But I watched it. So you say, okay, I watched it, and here's what I thought. No, he has the nerve to think he can get away with his lie again. That's like saying Muslims had nothing to do with setting the Jordanian pilot alive. Muslims had nothing to do with terrorism. Folks in a deli, not Jews again. Everything he says makes you just, your skin crawls. Didn't watch it. If he was a real leader, first of all, he would have been there. And then said, I don't agree with the prime minister and his why, and laid out his case. So if he didn't agree with Netanyahu, why didn't he just appear there like a real president and then give a speech to America saying, while the prime minister has valid points for his own people, it's not what I see. It's not in the interests of America and the world to take that drastic viewpoint. And here's why. And lay it out. Let the people decide. Instead, our supreme leader is so thin-skinned that he has to say, I didn't listen to it. And here's why I didn't listen to it. And if I did listen to it, I would have disagreed for the following reasons. It's utterly unbelievable to think that we're stuck with this guy for two more years and that there's no mechanism to get rid of him from this office of the presidency of the United States. Well, there is a mechanism. It's called impeachment, but you know and I know it's not going to happen. How will Obama and his minions react to the speech they already have in the shallow, mean way that they're known for? The only question that remains right now is the one I asked at the beginning of the show, which is how will Iran respond to Netanyahu's speech today? Because respond they will. Respond they will. As sure as I'm sitting here, they're going to do some kind of provocative act to show that they're not to be bullied. They're not afraid of Israel. They're not afraid of Netanyahu. And here's why we're going to do the following thing. And when Iran does act, as I suspect they will, all of the quisling Democrats will say Netanyahu provoked Iran. You wait and see. Mark my words. But I've spoken for an hour and 15 minutes now. Maybe you want me to talk about other things, and that's why I brought up the movie that I told you not to waste your money on, Fury. But there are other news stories I'm going to get to. But I don't think there's a bigger speech than this in my life. I couldn't wait for it this morning. I got up, I got the coffee, and I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait. As I watched it, I got infuriated by Fox News. Do you know that those fools at Fox News had the nerve to cut out Boehner's speech? The introduction, which was so critical to this whole thing, it was Boehner who invited him. Instead, that little shrimp, Brett Baier, kept shooting his mouth off. And that nasty piece of work, Charles Sauerkrauthammer, kept shooting his mouth off about what he thought. I was screaming at the television. Shut up, I kept saying. Shut up and let me watch Boehner speak. Shut up, Krauthammer. Shut up, Brett Baier. Just shut your mouths and let me watch it for myself. I was ashamed of Fox News today. They wouldn't shut up for 1 minute and let me watch the speech. I had no other way. So I switched to CNN. Of course, you got the same thing. They cut everyone out so one of their left-wing fanatics could give his opinion, or her opinion, rather. These are some of the emotional reactions I had today. How about yours? Line three. Line three. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Phil, Detroit, WJR, topic, the destruction of Israel. Doctor, is Iran willing to destroy Palestine and all of the shared holy sites in order to take out Israel?
I don't know. Ask the mullahs what they're willing. You have to understand something that you don't quite understand. The apocalypse mentality of the mullahs is something the American people cannot understand, because they believe that only with the destruction of the world will their imagined leader come back to earth. Did you know that? The Mehdi, M-E-H-D-I, will only return after the world is destroyed. Did you know that?
No, sir, but I'm just concerned.
I'm answering your question. The psychopaths in headscarves who run Iran believe that there must be a world holocaust, an apocalypse, rather, for their Mehdi to return, whatever that may be, some imaginary king of the world. So you're asking, will they destroy the Palestinian territories to bring about this? They'll destroy everything. They'll destroy us as well. Is that a fair answer?
Yeah, I think that'll do. I thought they would want to consume those holy sites for themselves in the future, though.
No, they will destroy everything to bring about, I told you, an apocalypse, which they believe is required in order for them to realize the return of their Mehdi, M-E-H-D-I. Check it out and see if I'm making it up, because I'm not. No, they'll destroy the whole world in order to fulfill their fanatical, psychotic dreams. 855-400-7282. Did Netanyahu just declare war in Iran is the question. The answer is yes. As a caller in the last hour began to say at the end of the hour, and I agree with him, he laid out the moral grounds for going it alone, if necessary, in attacking Iran's nuclear facilities. They will do it. He explained why he had to do it. And he said he's going to do it, which is exactly why Obama didn't want him to speak. Because now the world knows that Israel's back is to the wall and they have to fight. Every man will fight, by the way, if his back is to a wall. Did you know that? The most cowardly man will fight when he has no option. I don't know if you understand that. There are peaceful people. There are cowardly people. There are frightened people. Everyone will fight if their back is to a wall and they're going to die. There's not a human being who doesn't have it in them to struggle and fight back. Do you know that or don't you? Well, you're about to see it happen in front of your eyes. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from.
We're an ancient people. In our nearly 4,000 years of history, many have tried repeatedly to destroy the Jewish people. Tomorrow night, on the Jewish holiday of Purim, we'll read the book of Esther. We'll read of a powerful Persian viceroy named Haman, who plotted to destroy the Jewish people some 2,500 years ago. But a courageous Jewish woman, Queen Esther, exposed the plot and gained for the Jewish people the right to defend themselves against their enemies. The plot was foiled. Our people were saved.
You heard that? Another reason Obama didn't want him here. A real man with a real history, with a real identity and a real nation to defend. How can you have that when you don't believe in your own nation and you do everything you can in the middle of the night to undermine it, flooding America with illegal aliens? I go down a list All right, I've spoken. It's time for you to speak. Line number 8, go ahead, please. Fire away. You got 2 minutes.
Dr. Savage, I remember in 1979 when the Iranians took over our embassy in their country. President Obama said...
Okay, stop for a minute. You need to turn your radio off. I can't hear you, and stop chopping the liver in the background.
I'm sorry. I'm at the dentist's office with my daughter.
All right, well, tell a dentist to put down the laughing gas. Come on, fire away.
I just want to know why President Obama hasn't insisted on an apology for the takeover of our embassy.
Well, I think you're asking too much of him. He could go back that far in history. Where was he in 1979?
I couldn't tell you.
How old was Obama in 1979? So that'll give you the answer where he was. You know, does he even know the embassy was taken over by under his, the regime of his one of his mentors, Jimmy Carter?
Yep.
Does he know that it was a Zbigniew Brzezinski who was Jimmy Carter's so-called national security advisor?
Yeah, he was the Jew hater in chief.
There you go. There you go. That's all. And his daughter, I think, works on MSNBC. I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the seltzer bottle. Thanks for the call. I mixed up two analogies on that one. I wanted to mention something to you. Do you remember about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, some of the punks that work for Obama? You don't understand who really runs the government. It's these punky kids called aides. They are the nastiest pieces of work you've ever seen. Anyway, some of his punky advisors were quoted as saying Bibi Netanyahu is a chicken. Do you remember that? Remember it hit the news? They called him a chicken, a worse word than that. Do you know why they said that? Put it back in context. I'll tell you why, my opinion. Because we learned last night that Obama said if you launch an attack on Iran, we'll shoot your jets down if you fly over Iraq airspace. So these children who work for Obama, these nasty drug addicts from the worst schools in America who get their jobs through their parents' donations, had the nerve to mock a real war hero, Netanyahu, said that he backed down because he's a chicken. You hear this? They think it's all a game, don't they? Let me tell you, it isn't.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Today, the Jewish people face another attempt by yet another Persian potentate to destroy us. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, spews the oldest hatred of anti-Semitism with the newest technology. He tweets that Israel must be annihilated, that Israel must be destroyed. For those who believe that Iran threatens the Jewish state, but not the Jewish people, listen to Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, Iran's chief terrorist proxy. He said, if all the Jews gather in Israel, it will save us the trouble of chasing them down around the world.
I did not have a chance to watch Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech. I was on a video conference.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, you're watching European a basketball game. We get it. Ukraine. You had Al Sharpton in to see how you can undermine America. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is an extraordinary day. You may not know it now, but you'll know it in the future looking back to today. Today was a turning point in the history of America, not only the history of America and Israel relations, that's irrelevant really, but in the history of this nation alone, to have a president of the United States of America say such shallow things which are so apparently lies. What do you mean he didn't listen? He didn't have a chance to watch the most important speech of our time, but he knew it, but he didn't like it, didn't like it. And right away he sent out his mad dogs to put down Netanyahu. Listen what the mad dog said, that he didn't offer any viable alternatives. Well, he certainly did. Netanyahu did offer a viable alternative. He said, withdraw yourself from the negotiating table, and the mullahs will come running back to you, and you'll get a better deal. That's what he said. That was the alternative. He said they're nothing but rug traders. He knows how they work. He laughed about it. He said that's how it works in the Middle East. That's how any deal works. You go to a car dealer to buy a car, right? And you reach an impasse in negotiations. So what do you do if you want to buy that car? You stand there and say, can you please sell me the car at a lower price? The dealer will say, no, I'm not going to. In fact, I'm going to raise the price because he sees weakness. It's a standard negotiating tactic. So what do you do as a buyer? You walk out of the car dealership. My father taught me that as an antique dealer. He used to take me aside when he was buying stuff, and he would take me by the hand. He'd whisper. He'd say, watch what I'm going to do. And then would reach a point in the negotiation. He's trying to buy something to sell in his own store from a wholesaler. So I used to get scared. I was a kid. I said, Dad, don't do that. He's going to get mad at you. He said, shh. And he'd take my hand. He'd start to walk out, and he'd go slowly toward the door. I can remember to this day, I swear to God. And he said, watch what happens when I get to the door. I would sit there so frightened that the man who owned the stuff that he wanted to buy was going to get angry at him. And by the, he'd go, well, thank you very much. I'm sorry we can't do a deal. And he'd start to walk. And I would be shaking that my father was going to lose the deal. And he'd say, one step, two step. And as swear to God, as his hand reached for the doorknob in that wholesale antique store, the guy would say, wait a minute. Hey, Benny, hold on a minute. I swear it worked every time. Come on back and let's talk. This is how negotiations work, whether it's a man buying or selling a lamp or a man buying and selling a nuclear limitation program. Human nature is human nature. So to say that Netanyahu didn't offer a plan is ludicrous. He did offer a plan. He said, walk out on the bums, and they'll beg you to come back because they need you more than you need them. Why do you assume that Iran is so tough right now when they don't have a nuclear weapon? Imagine how tough they're going to be when they do have one. So his minions come out and say that nothing was done. Without a deal, Iran's going to advance its program. Well, excuse me? They're going to install advanced centrifuges, which they're going to fuel its plutonium reactor and reduce or eliminate its breakout time if there is no deal? Is that what the Obama administration is saying? That without a deal, they're going to go ahead and install advanced centrifuges, which will fuel its plutonium reactor and reduce or eliminate its breakout time to a nuclear weapon. That's a lie. Let me remind you what happened in World War II when brave and more patriotic men were running America. The Germans, the Nazis under Hitler, were racing to develop a nuclear bomb. And so after they invaded and conquered Norway, they were developing heavy water at a reactor in the fjords of Norway. I don't know if you know this little story. It's one of the great heroic episodes of World War II, in which there were tens of thousands of such episodes. And some extremely brave, I think they were Norwegians, actually, underground fighters, skied over hundreds of miles. They skied in from Sweden. And they blew up the most heavily guarded heavy water plant that you can imagine, guarded by Hitler's crack SS guards. They killed them, got in there, and blew up the plant and slowed the program. They stopped Hitler's development of a nuclear weapon. They didn't say, we can't negotiate with Hitler. They didn't say, oh, let's negotiate with Hitler. They didn't say, maybe Hitler won't develop the bomb. They knew Hitler would develop the bomb because he was developing it just as a Netanyahu. And every sane person knows that the Iranian mullahs are developing the bomb. Do you think they're not? What do you think, they're slowing it down? Because the supreme allied commander, Barack Obama, wants them to? They haven't slowed down one iota. They're speeding along. So it'll be a fait accompli, and they'll have the bomb or 100 bombs. So don't fool yourself for a minute and think that there's a negotiation that's on the table in the interests of America and the world. There is no negotiation. There's only one choice right now, and it's not even a Hobson's choice. It's the only choice there is, and you know what it is. Do I have to say it? Because whether I say it or not, you know what's coming. Just as the resistance fighters took down the heavy water plant in Norway to stop Hitler from getting the bomb, before we got the bomb, I can guarantee you, as I stand here, Israel, with several partners, not including the United States, will take down Iran's nuclear facilities. And the United States will shamefully not be part of that coalition, because the president will be too busy watching television or on a video conference somewhere. All right, I've spoken. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I call it Radio Free America, because it is a free country, believe it or not. Even though the communists who run the universities would like you to believe they control everything. This is Radio Free America, where the average person gets the chance to sound off. When I call your number, just tell us your station, your name, and your topic, okay? Line number 6, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Today, when it's flip-flop,
sir, what station are you listening on, and what's your name?
I'm Mark from KSFO, and I'm an Islamic scholar. And have you read Craig Wynne's book, The Prophet of Doom?
Please, make your statement.
Well, the statement is it's not radical to quote from the Quran and the Hadiths, okay? I'm a fundamentalist Christian, and my authority is the Bible. Their authority is the Qurans and the Hadiths. And
so it's an infomercial caller. I sense that. We get them all the time. People want to push a book or a blog. Okay, thanks, sir. Appreciate that. Enjoy the hamburger. Line number 9 next. You're on the Savage Nation, line 9. Please state your station, your name, and your topic.
WABC, Tony. Topic is a comparison between the missile crisis with President Kennedy, who called the bluff of the communists, and unfortunately, we can't claim Mr. Netanyahu as an American president, but he has done the same. Too bad we couldn't.
What you're saying is Netanyahu has basically threatened Iran and saying, you go ahead and make my day?
No, not threatened him, but I think he's said, if you do, we could possibly go on our own, and we will protect ourselves, just like I feel.
Well, let me ask you something. You know, they could say one thing, but can they do it without American weapons? By what I'm reading, they cannot. Israel cannot take out Iran's underground nuclear facilities without a very, very serious weaponry, mainly bunker-busting bombs that weigh up to 3,000 pounds each, and apparently they don't have them right now.
Well, maybe what Mr. Netanyahu made reference to, things that are not apparent to everyone, that we've helped them do things. Maybe we'd help them with some of those weapons that can't be made public.
What, you're saying that maybe Mr. Obama has already helped Israel without it being known?
Inadvertently, maybe in the past. Maybe not only Mr. Obama, maybe prior to Mr. Obama. I don't know. I'm just...
Well, we don't know anything. We, the American people, are kept in the dark like all serfs in all nations. We know nothing. The only thing we have going for us is the internet, reason, and the ability to speak freely. That's all we have left in this country. As far as an open government, we lost that a long time ago. And it didn't begin with Barack Obama, did it?
No,
it didn't. Next line. Line number 2. State your station, name, and topic, please. You're on the one and only Savage Nation.
I'm calling you via the internet, listening to you through WBOB out of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm actually in California, up in California, and my name is Ed, and I want to talk about the comparison between Obama and the Prime Minister of Israel, how the Prime Minister of Israel gives a speech to Congress, to the public, lets everybody know what the issues are, while Obama wants to do his negotiation with Iran behind closed doors. All he wants is a paper. All he wants is an agreement. His value system is with his ideal is Chamberlain from meeting with Hitler. He just the only thing he saw wrong with that was maybe Chamberlain didn't kiss Hitler's hand, and that's what he's going to do.
You mean when Chamberlain came back and said, "I have in my hand a piece of paper from Herr Hitler," in which he said, "Germany will never go to war again with England," and the crowd cheered. Of course, soon thereafter, Hitler invaded Czechoslovakia.
Yes, and that's exactly what Obama wants. He thinks that this will resolve it. The only thing that Chamberlain did wrong is he didn't kiss his hand like he's going to kiss the...
I think the big difference between Obama and Netanyahu is that one is open and the other one is guarded and secretive. Obama does everything in the secret in the middle of the night. Floods America with illegal aliens, passes a health care bill that no one knew what was in it until it was jammed down our throats. Everything Obama does is secretive and under the table. Netanyahu came out like a man and explained exactly what his people are facing, what the West is facing, what Iran really is as opposed to the fantasy of the academics, and why they must be stopped. He laid out his case, didn't he?
Exactly. And Michael, why...
And the American people responded positively because they like reality. They understand reality. They can't stand the shadow game being played by this character called Obama.
Exactly. And any other president, even Jimmy Carter, I think, in this situation would have said, okay, I don't usually do this meetings with the... That's his excuse, that he won't do a meeting with the prime minister because of the elections coming up. He would have said, okay, I'm a president of change. I'll change that standard today, and I will go to Congress and meet with the prime minister of Israel.
Well, first of all, that's a big lie, my friend, because Obama has flooded Israel with over 293 left-wing operatives in Israel. And they're working around the clock to bring down the Netanyahu government before the elections in Israel. They want it replaced by this guy Herzog, which is who's a socialist in good standing with the Obama administration. They're trying to bring about the death of a conservative regime in Israel and introduce an extreme leftist regime in Israel, a socialist regime in Israel. That's what Obama really wants.
See, Michael, I didn't know that, and you're the voice of America. You're my favorite talk show host in America. I started listening to you in 2003, and I noticed anytime you talk, I live in California, anytime you talk about Boxer or Feinstein, they immediately remove you within a week or two or even days from that station, and I no longer I've been listening to you on the Internet ever since 2000.
Oh, I'm on KSFO in San Francisco. Not only have I not been removed, I've been restored to my former glory. I helped build that station in the early 90s. The station is booming. I'm back on it. It's as solid as a rock. It's owned by Cumulus Media Network Holdings. And so don't think you can't hear me in California. I'm powerful in the state of California. But thank you for listening to me on the Internet. And we have so many other great stations, over 250 of them. It is 14 minutes to the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. I'll be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from.
This deal has two major concessions. One, leaving Iran with a vast nuclear program. And two, lifting the restrictions on that program in about a decade. That's why this deal is so bad. It doesn't block Iran's path to the bomb. It paves Iran's path to the bomb. So why would anyone make this deal? Because they hope that Iran will change for the better in the coming years? Or they believe that the alternative to this deal is worse? Well, I disagree. I don't believe that Iran's radical regime will change for the better after this deal. This regime has been in power for 36 years, and its voracious appetite for aggression grows with each passing year. This deal would only whet Iran's appetite for more.
Well, you heard all of these little sound bites that we culled from today's seminal speech by the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, hated by Obama. Hated so much that he did everything in his power to prevent this man from even stating his case as to why Iran must be stopped from developing a nuclear weapon. I want you to think about that. It's unprecedented to think that a president of the United States of America would tell a nation it has no right to defend itself. It has no right to even present its case to the American people as to why they feel that there's an existential threat to their survival. No, Obama instead say not only did he not want him here and do everything in his power to stop him and fail at it, incidentally, this is Obama's greatest loss, by the way. You know that, don't you? It will go down in political history as Obama's greatest loss to date. He has steamrolled everything the Republicans have done to try to stop his machinations. They couldn't stop this man. Obama stepped on the American people. We couldn't stop him. And yet he couldn't break this little nation of Israel over his knee. He probably threatened them with holding bombs and funds. But he didn't succeed. I wonder why he didn't succeed. I wonder why Barack Obama, the supreme leader of America, didn't succeed in stopping Netanyahu from coming. I thought he might. I thought Netanyahu was going to break and not come out here. But he did. And he presented a compelling speech about the threat that these mullahs, these medieval mullahs, pose not only to Israel but to the entire Western world. It should have awakened liberals, intelligent liberals. I doubt that it has. I think that they're beyond hope. You would think that the gays would have been awakened to the dangers they are in should this fundamentalism and Sharia law rear its ugly head here in America. But I don't think it did. But I hope the Netanyahu speech, as played on the Savage Nation, or if you heard it yourself, awakened you to the shallowness that we have in the White House and the greatness that we see in Israel.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I did not have a chance to watch Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech. I was on a video conference with our European partners with respect to Ukraine. I did have a chance to take a look at the transcript. As far as I can tell, there was nothing new. But on the core issue, which is how do we prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon, which would make it far more dangerous and would give it scope for even greater action in the region, the Prime Minister didn't offer any viable alternatives.
Wrong. Liar. 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 Can you believe that a president of the United States would be so adolescent in his response to one of the most seminal speeches of our lifetime? This is high noon, my friends. And Gary Cooper came to America to tell us that the villains were threatening to wipe out his town. And what did the president of the most powerful nation on earth say? He was too busy to listen to Gary Cooper's speech. He was busy on a video conference with some 10th-rate tin horn intellectual from Ukraine who no one ever heard of. That's far more important than what's going to happen between Iran and Israel. Far more important to listen to that rubbish. Well, it's more important to Obama, who has been demonizing Putin for about a year now, trying to turn Putin into Hitler and trying to gin up a reason for World War III in Ukraine. That really is a sane man, isn't it? That's truly a sane man. Distract us from what he's not doing against Iran, to create an issue now with Ukraine to go to war with Russia. And let me tell you something else. I pray to God that Obama is not permitted to drag us into World War III with Russia, because we'll lose. With what he has done to the U.S. military, I fear for our troops and our own safety if he should do that. They'll roll over them. They'll crush them like cats underneath the tank treads. Do you have any idea what he's playing with here? He has purged the military of all of our war leaders, one after the other, beginning with Benghazi and not stopping until the other day. He has replaced our real heroes, after purging them, smearing them, destroying them, with the worst imaginable leadership in the United States military history. Women who never flew a plane are running the Air Force. Women who never drove a rowboat are running the Navy. Do you know what I'm saying to you? It's not that they're women. I wouldn't care if they were women pilots who had fought in combat. God bless her. In fact, one of Hitler's favorite test pilots was a woman. So I know that women can fly in combat. That's not the point. Obama didn't pick a woman who has flown in combat to run the U.S. Air Force. He chose a petty bureaucrat to run the Air Force and make sure the military is purged of all testosterone. So if you think that if Obama starts a war with Russia in Ukraine, God forbid, that Russia will lose, you're mistaken. They'll roll over them. They'll crush them. That's unless Obama gets really crazy and decides to go nuclear. You never can tell. You never can tell what a desperate despot might do. You can never tell what a desperate despot might do. But let's get back to the issue at hand today on the Savage Nation, which is the showdown, which is coming between the West and Iran. Because make no mistake about it, this is not between Iran and Israel alone. If it was, I don't think he would have been invited to Congress. And remember who invited him. It was the very man that many of you have contempt for, John Boehner. He finally fractured the Democrat coalition, which had been lock solid until this Netanyahu business. And today the Democrats cracked. And many of them showed up because they knew what was at stake, and they cheered Netanyahu along with their Republican colleagues. I saw a unity in Congress I had not seen in the 6 years since this despot seized power. I saw a unity that was, frankly, stirring for me. I felt great to be an American again. When I heard them cheering Netanyahu, I personally, as an American observer, I felt good about my country. I felt there was hope. I actually thought I was looking at the good guys again. I felt as though we were on the verge of something phenomenal in the world, and that we were on the right side at last, instead of never knowing why this man does so many things that are not in the national interest. But we don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. We know that Obama was embarrassed today for the first time in his presidency. You do know that. Oh, hadn't heard it yet from the lipstick girls on Fox News? Obama was embarrassed today for the first time in his presidency. He has ruled with an iron boot. He has a minion, a stable around him of the most vicious PR agents you've ever seen. And a minion in the media unlike any in any presidency before. And yet, he was unable to stop Netanyahu from coming. He was unable to threaten Boehner. He was unable to threaten Israel. And he lost, and he was embarrassed today because he saw a unity in Congress that he himself could only hope for. So where does that leave us as American people? We're on the outside looking in. Many of you don't know what to think. Many of you figure, look, it's Israel's problem, not ours. I get that. Understand. But really, it isn't. At this point, we saw that it is not just an Israel problem, nor is it only the Jews, is it? No, it's about the mullahs again, isn't it? It's the radical Islamists. It's Islamists with a medieval creed. No rights for women, no freedom for anyone. And so it's not about Israel and the Jews. It's about the entire world, and it's about freedom versus slavery. Make no mistake about it. That's what this speech was about. And it was Netanyahu's finest moment. He gave a Churchillian speech, something along the lines of which Obama would only dream of being able to do, but can't do because he doesn't have the background nor the love for his own nation that Netanyahu does. This, again, is my opinion, but you're paying me to listen to my opinion. And if you don't agree with my opinion, you can call 855-407-282 and try to get on the show. I doubt that you will break through because there are so many people dying to speak right now that we can't take all of your calls, but I owe it to you to take one right now and let me do so. Will you please? So I call your number, tell me your name, station, and topic. Line two, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
My name is Dean, WNTW, 820 AM in Chester, Virginia.
Yes, sir.
I think Netanyahu commanded such pride from us watching and listening to him. Number one, he wasn't on teleprompter. He spoke like he normally speaks, from his heart, powerfully, confidently, versus a Goliath versus an Urkel. No teleprompter. He basically spanked Obama.
Did you say he spanked Obama?
Basically spanked him as far as verbally. He put him in his place without directly putting him in his place.
Well, I know, and by the way, he's going to have hell to pay for this. You know that Obama listened to the speech, right? We agree with that. What sane man would not believe that?
The sane people would believe that.
He was seething watching the speech in his little bunker there with his girlfriends, with the sorority, rather. Him and the sorority girls were watching it, probably plotting how to get even with Netanyahu and Israel. As they were watching it, they were going berserk in that bunker. So don't tell me they didn't listen to it. And what worries me now is what kind of vindictive behavior the sorority is liable to engage in. What do you think the sorority is going to do tomorrow?
Well, it's hard to say when you have a puppet leading the rest of the nation and whoever's pulling his strings and he's just a mouthpiece.
Do you think Israel will go and drop those bunker busting bombs or use kind of some computer technology, or rather? You know what they're doing. They invented the Stuxnet virus, which stopped the development of the centrifuges. Do you think Israel has the capacity to stop the centrifuges from spinning through some viruses they could inject into the computer programs of Iran?
Yes, they do, and they also have the will, the heart, determination, and the history of never again.
Well, their back is to the wall, and they did lose their ancestors, so it's a little different than the leaders of America, is it not? And I thank you very much for being so articulate. I'm looking into bunker-busting bombs. I read that Iran has some secret facilities 300 feet under the ground. Concrete, 300 feet thick. Is that true? I don't know what it is, because I don't think it's just 12 feet of concrete. I think it's hundreds of feet down below, and I don't know what kind of weapon can penetrate that far. But where am I getting this information from? The opposition in Iran, through great risk of their personal safety, divulged this 2 weeks ago. Iranians who have risked their lives have leaked to the West in desperation that the maniacs who are running Iran, the medieval hooded lunatics who want to drag the world back 500 years the way they've dragged the Iranians back 500 years, they expose the fact that the Iranians have already developed the ability to develop what they need to make a bomb if they have not already built one. And I suspect that's why Netanyahu came here. I think that Iran is much farther along than anyone is willing to admit. And I think that's why he came for the showdown. Because this was a showdown between Netanyahu and Obama, make no mistake about it. You know, now whether this damages relations with Israel is another question. Because Netanyahu went out of his way to say that he respected Mr. Obama. Did you see the salute to Harry Reid in the beginning? That was rather unusual. I'm a keen observer of political moves. One of the first people that Netanyahu saluted was Harry Reid. And he said, you can't keep a good man down. Glad to see you're back on your feet. Now, why would he do that with a man such as Harry Reid? Does anyone have any ideas on that? Why is Harry Reid so important to Benjamin Netanyahu? I'll let you think about that when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
I haven't heard anything.
But I know that Israel like does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
Do you hear this? Doesn't it make you proud and happy to be an American again when you hear Congress unified like this? Now you understand why your tin horn leader didn't listen to the speech, like heck he didn't. Now, here's the question. How can Israel stand alone? They can't. Without our weapons, they're finished. I don't know how they can do it. Okay, Stuxnet, Virat, everyone thinks the Jews are so smart and they can outmaneuver the... And never forget how smart the Iranians are. Just never forget how vast the Persian Empire was. Never forget that they have some of the most brilliant scientists on the planet as well. So don't jump to the conclusion that the Israelis are so smart that somewhere deep within a bunker in Tel Aviv that they can outsmart the Iranians with a computer program. I'm not so sure of that. What the Israelis need was a bunker-busting bomb designed to penetrate Earth and reinforce concrete to get to the deeply buried nuclear facilities. And according to what I've read, both American and Israeli sources, the only weapon that would have a chance of destroying the Iranian nuclear fuel enrichment center at Fordo, which is buried more than 200 feet under a mountain outside the holy city of Qum, is called a massive ordnance penetrator. Here's the problem. It doesn't weigh 3,000 pounds, as I thought. It weighs 30,000 pounds. So that Israel does not have any aircraft capable of carrying this weapon. To do so, Israel would need a B-2 bomber. A B-2 bomber is not in the Israeli arsenal. We have them. And the United States recently flew nonstop recently from Missouri to the Korean Peninsula to underscore to North Korea that it can reach its nuclear sites. I doubt very much that our supreme leader will lend BB the keys to a B-2. He's not going to say, hey, kid, take it for a spin. I kind of doubt it. So I'm not so sure Israel can do this alone. That's the worry that I have for that. And we've already been told they're not getting them. They are not going to give them to them. They've been told that clearly. So what will be gained from today's appearance? I don't know. I don't really know what was gained by this. I wouldn't say anything was lost by it. I would say that if you were to force me to admit what I see to be the truth, maybe nothing was gained by this speech. I was stirred by it. I was proud to be an American again. I was proud to see a Congress that cheered for a great leader. It made me happy to be an American again, to hear such reality in the halls of such deceit. All of those things were worth it to me. And of course, Netanyahu spelled out the case against the mullahs of Iran, not against the Iranian people. They're prisoners within their own country. They've been taken hostage by these throwbacks. You know, but you need to know the history of these throwbacks and where they came from and how they were ascended to power over these 39 years. It was Jimmy Carter who did it. You don't know that. The very same Brzezinski who threatened Netanyahu, according to the Kuwaiti newspaper, saying that he'd shoot down Israeli jets if they went to Iran, this very same Brzezinski was there when the Shah of Iran ruled Iran with an iron fist. And do you know why he ruled Iran with an iron fist, looking back now? Do you know why he had such a vicious secret police in Iran? It was in order to control these throwbacks. These very same throwbacks who have put women back 300 years. The very same throwbacks who throw homosexuals off roofs. The very same throwbacks who are threatening to bring their sparkling view of humanity to the rest of the world. There was a crazy man named Ayatollah Khomeini who had been driven out of Iran and was living in exile in London. Jimmy Carter undermined the Shah of Iran the same way Obama is trying to undermine the president of Israel. You ready for a little history lesson? Write it down, because you haven't heard it yet. Jimmy Carter worked around the clock to undermine the Shah of Iran the same way Barack Obama's working around the clock to undermine Netanyahu. And what happened was is that after the Shah was driven into exile, Khomeini, the poisonous lunatic, came back from exile and brought with him the toxin of radical Islam, which is now spread like a poison across the earth. Do you understand the origins of radical Islam, ISIS and the others? You say, well, ISIS is a different sect of Islam and they're really fighting Iran. Listen, make no mistake about it. They're not fighting over the fundamentals. They both want Sharia law. They both want a radical view of Islam imposed on the rest of the world. They both want the world dragged back 500 years. It's only a matter of which power group will control it. The Iranian mullahs or the ISIS mullahs. It doesn't matter which group wins, because both want the same thing. So don't be confused by the Shia Sunni argument. It makes no difference in this case. Just remember one thing. Obama should get another Nobel Prize for having done something that no president in modern American history was able to do. And that is he brought three major Arab nations together with the Jews in their opposition to an Iranian nuclear bomb. That's right, because they themselves know more than your president does about the dangers of an Iran nuclear bomb.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is a distraction from what should be our focus. And our focus should be, how do we stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon? The question is this. If, in fact, we are trying to finalize a deal, why not wait to see, A, is there actually going to be a deal? Can Iran accept the terms that we're laying out?
Bingo. Do you understand what Obama just said, that he's a weakling, a terrible negotiator, that he's going to beg Iran? He said, can Iran accept the deal we offer? That explains why Netanyahu had to come here. He knows that Obama was going to go and lay himself, well, through Kerry, prostrate themselves before Iran and say, would you please accept this offer? Now, what do you think hardliners like that are going to do? They're going to spit in the face of the weak West, as they've been doing. So he said, hey, I'm not going to sit here and let my people be destroyed under my watch. He came to America, and he was given a hero's welcome. I just imagined Obama seething with rage as he watched the accolades and the love for this man. I can just imagine the rage inside the heart of this man. I can imagine him breaking things and screaming at his aides, because he failed to stop Netanyahu from appearing before Congress. He used every trick in the book. He used all of his powers. And the most powerful man in the world came up short. The real winner here is John Boehner. You don't know that. You don't like John Boehner, many of you, because you've been led to believe he's weak and stupid. I've said the same things myself. If Boehner himself figured this out, then he fractured the Democrat Party. He broke them. For the first time, I've seen the Democrat Party fracture under this dictator, Obama. They're terrified of him. What's interesting to me is that the Republican Party has been divided for a while, and that's the sign of a healthy Republican Party. Many ideas vying with each other for supremacy. But the dictatorship under Obama is so complete that no Democrat, even those who don't agree with him, dare step aside from his medieval creed of total and absolute control. But it happened. Many Democrats who said they wouldn't attend today attended. I wonder why they did that. Why did the girls from San Francisco attend? I watched Pelosi preening before the cameras, before the speech. I thought she was mentally ill. She thought that it was a party for her. New hairdo, new earrings, new dress, new Botox face, all freshened up for the big night. And then she gave the stupidest response I've ever seen. Another one of those cuckoo clock speeches that she's become famous for. But I don't even want to bother you with it. Why play these fools when these fools are not the issue? We're facing the extinction of civilization. Many of you don't accept that. Many of you want to keep your heads in the sand and go about your business. I get it. So do I. Do you think I want to wake up every day to this problem of the extinction of Western civilization? Do you think it's easy to face this every day? I'm not here. I'm not complaining. Nobody's forcing me to do this radio show. But every day I wake up with it. Every night I go to sleep with it. But the people who really wake up with it every morning and go to sleep with it at night, the issue isn't even about Jewish people. The issue is about the West and liberal values. Strangely enough, progressive liberal values are what the issue is. Progressive liberal values cannot live in Iran. Progressive liberal values that the liberals claim to cherish cannot live with a nuclear-armed Iran. And that's why the speech today was so seminal and important. It's a speech that in other times would have united America, but because we have a divider in chief, America is probably as divided as it was before the speech. I go back in history and I listen to some speeches and I compare this speech to something Winston Churchill did. And I want you to listen to clip number 18 right now, Winston Churchill addressing Congress of the United States.
Sure I am that this day now we are the masters of our fate, that the task which has been set us is not above our strength, that its pangs and toils are not beyond our endurance. As long as we have faith in our cause and an unconquerable willpower, salvation will not be denied us. In the words of the psalmist, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord.
Can you imagine the comparison between Winston Churchill and what we have in the White House today, the duplicitous community organizer? Watching the speech today, I said to myself, is Netanyahu declaring war in Iran? He said so. He said at one point, make no mistake about it. If we have to, we will go it alone. He said he will go to war with Iran if he has to. I heard that. I was stirred by that. But I don't think he'll go to war alone if he has to. I think that other nations recognize the maniacs who are running Iran threaten the entire world, and they include Muslim leaders. They include the leaders of Saudi Arabia, the leaders of Jordan, the leader of Egypt, the leader of the UAE. They know that Iran wants a bomb to wipe them off the planet. They know what Iran's goal is. And so this is not about Israel. Nor is it about Iran. It's about the psychotic throwbacks that you see, the mullahs. You know what a mullah is? A mullah is a religious personality who lives in another century. And he has brought, they have brought Iran backwards 500 years. They want to bring the world back 500 years. Do you want to go backwards 500 years? You know, this is an issue that any progressive listening to the show should agree with me on. In other words, I don't care if you're progressive or a regressive. This is an issue that we should all agree upon. The world cannot let the Hitlers and headscarves develop a nuclear weapon. They're not like other Muslims. They're not like Pakistan, which is a nuclear nation. Because Pakistan, although it is a Muslim nation, has never threatened to commit genocide with their weapons. Pakistan, which is a Muslim nation, has never threatened to wipe another nation off the planet simply because they don't like their religion. But that's different when you look at the mullahs in Iran who have said on many occasions that they will wipe Israel off the map. But they said something else that every Jew should listen to. And frankly, every liberal Jew should listen to. They said, just last week, one of them sent a message or tweeted. He said this. He said, we hope all the Jews move to Israel so we can wipe them all out at once and not have to chase them all around the globe. I think that would include Harvey and the others from Hollywood. I'm not sure that they would be exempt, even though they've been good liberals. I doubt very much that they would get a pass. And I watched Netanyahu's speech, and I would say it was the finest speech that I've watched in my entire life. I've heard great speeches before. I felt as though I was watching the Churchill of our time. I wish to God we had Netanyahu running America instead of this community organizer whose only goal is to undermine the American people and America itself. How do you feel about a president who is such a liar that he would even lie about not watching a speech saying, I read the transcript? That is such an apparent lie, it's something that even a liberal could see through. But let's put aside the fact that Obama lies by nature. It's in his nature. He can't tell the truth even if he tried to. Now, but let's get to the big lie, which is that Netanyahu didn't offer anything new. That's a total lie. It's a total lie. Obama said this, we've offered Iran a deal. And the question is, can Iran accept the deal we offer? Do you understand what that said? Did you understand the weakness, the quisling nature of this community organizer in the White House? Not only does he lie, but he goes before Iran and says, can Iran accept the deal we offer? Not Iran must accept the deal we offer. So to me, that explains exactly why Netanyahu was forced to come here. If he has a leader that is such a capitulator as Obama, a leader who would say, can Iran accept the deal we offer? You didn't hear that speech today, did you? I'll play it for you in a minute. This explains exactly why Netanyahu was forced to come here, because he knows Obama was selling Israel down the river. But bigger than that is the issue of selling the West down the river, because as Netanyahu clearly laid out today, this is not solely about Israel. It would be enough if it was only about Israel. But it's not only about Israel. Iran's charter calls for the destruction of the West, not just Israel. Israel is just the first in a long series of steps until the entire world is forced to submit to Sharia law, where women are stoned to death for committing to having been raped. If men rape women in Iran, they're stoned to death for having let themselves be raped. Is that the world you want your daughter to grow up in, you moronic liberals? And gays especially, what the hell is wrong with you? Didn't you hear what Netanyahu said? You can't understand that beyond your own needs and your wants, there's a bigger world. And in that bigger world, the Islamists kill homosexuals. Where is the gay movement? Where is the women's movement? Shocking, isn't it? Not shocking under this man who has so hoodwinked decent liberals that they don't even know they're in danger of disappearing from this earth. I think that the reason Obama didn't want him to come, there are many reasons. One is, the world saw a real leader as opposed to a brittle shell, a faker. He didn't like that. He's a very competitive individual, as you can expect, who would go into politics, but a psychotically competitive individual. It's not limited to him. They're all the same. But aside from that, he didn't want the American people to see a real leader and hear a real leader. Because there's one thing about the average person. Doesn't matter what political orientation they are, you know, the truth has a certain ring to it. We've been so used to lies, we've put up with 6 years of a liar, a shallowness where nothing truthful ever comes out of the man's lips, ever, that when you hear a man speak the truth, it rings inside of you as something fundamental to your DNA. We know that these medieval throwbacks in Iran threaten the entire world. We're not alone in our knowledge. The king of Jordan who knows it. The prime minister of Egypt knows it. That's the largest Muslim nation on earth. The Saudis know it. How is it that the Saudis, the Egyptians, and the Jordanians know this, but the American liberal doesn't? How is that possible? How is it the American liberal could be so blind to the Hitlers of our time and have such a vendetta against conservatism and conservatives, if you want to put it that way? I don't even call it that. To me, it's survivalist. A survival, a person who wants to live sees this. It's an uncomfortable truth, and that's one of the reasons people don't want to face it, because it means you have to do something.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
What I also know is that he made the same argument before this current interim deal, and even as officials in his own government had to acknowledge that Iran has, in fact, maintained their end of the bargain. What I'm focused on right now is solving this problem.
You hear how vindictive and almost injured he sounds, our leader. Now, one of the great lines from Netanyahu's speech today is, the enemy of your enemy is your enemy, which is very interesting, to thunderous applause. But compare Obama's brittle, thin, childish, hurt voice with clip number one, and you decide for yourself, would you please?
In this deadly game of thrones, there's no place for America or for Israel. No peace for Christians, Jews, or Muslims who don't share the Islamist medieval creed. No rights for women, no freedom for anyone. So when it comes to Iran and ISIS, the enemy of your enemy is your enemy.
Yeah, that's a message to President Obama, who doesn't know that one. Obama learned the enemy of your enemy is your friend, but he didn't quite put the pieces together. He came 1 + 1 = 5. Listen to clip two again. It's a very important one for you to hear on the Savage Nation.
The greatest danger facing our world is the marriage of militant Islam with nuclear weapons. To defeat ISIS and let Iran get nuclear weapons would be to win the battle but lose the war. We can't let that happen.
Did you hear that? Marriage of militant Islam with nuclear weapons. That's an amazing statement. To win the battle but lose the war. We can't let that happen. And finally, I mean, as I listened to it this morning, there was so much we try to gather for your listening pleasure and edification. This one was very interesting in clip number three about Moses. Listen to this one.
Moses gave us a message that has steeled our resolve for thousands of years. I leave you with his message today. Be strong and resolute. Neither fear nor dread them.
Yeah, that says it all. That says it all, because whether you like it or not, you're in a battle for the survival of our civilization. Doesn't matter whether you agree with it or not, because your enemy agrees with it. Doesn't matter whether you think we are, because they know we are. So whether you think we are is irrelevant, because they know that they're in a battle to take over the world, to destroy our civilization and drag us back 500 years. Now, if you want to live in medieval times and not even know you're wanting to live in medieval times, you could do no better than to back Obama and the Democrat Socialist Islamist coalition that has emerged in the United States of America, because they are capitulating the way Neville Chamberlain did, but in a more dramatic fashion. This is a very dangerous time. It's a fulcrum time. It's a breaking point time, and I believe that you heard the most historic speech of your life today. If you haven't heard it, try to get it online, because it is a day that should be remembered in your life. It's a day that's going to change a lot in the future. Israel said a lot of things today through Netanyahu, and Obama said a lot by saying he didn't listen to the speech, but he read a transcript. If that doesn't tell you once and for all about the fraud that we have in the White House and the vindictive man that he is, and that he's never been qualified for this job from the get-go, I don't know what will. I don't know what will. He sent a steaming memo, Obama did, saying that all foreign policy emanates from the executive branch in this country, not from the legislative. He was miffed that Boehner invited Netanyahu to give so important a policy speech. Well, maybe he should look beyond his own power structure and think about the issues rather than his ego. He might get much further along in his thinking if he could look at the issues instead of his bruised ego and where that stands on a daily basis. Because so far as I can tell, it was only his ego talking today, not his intelligence. Well, this has been a great day for America. We've seen a unity I haven't seen in the 6 years that the nation has been occupied by this regime. A unity that was stirring to witness and hear. It made me proud to be an American and be on the side of right once again. Thank you for listening. God bless America.